Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will find him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." This is a description of the witnesses of his resurrection at first. Let's also go to 1 Peter 1:3-4. 1 Peter 1:3-4. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." God is the God of hope. 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 Those who have hope in God, in him, in their lifetime, he fills them up with, he lets them overflow with hope. This is in Romans 15:13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy, that you may overflow with hope." To be overflowing with living hope. And after death, he lets such men's living hope be fulfilled because he's the God of hope. Hallelujah. So our faith is to put our hope in the living God. And our faith life is in order for us to receive a better resurrection, not to avoid any harsh treatment or persecution, but to rather willingly receive suffering, again, to receive a better resurrection. And the reason is, it is to press on towards the prize of resurrection. As Philippians 3:10-12, Paul wrote. So we are going to talk about, you're going to be hearing about hope or wish or dream. And every man, every human has hope. As one grows older, they form and wish for something. And as time passes, their hope changes or their dream changes. So everyone has one when they're young because the family encourages. As a young child or school-age child, they want to do well in school. That's their wish. And then as they even grow older in schooling, they want to do well in school to get a good school and then a good college and then get a good job. And after that, when they come of age, they want to find a good mate, good spouse. And once they one finds one and get married, and then they want to own a home. So they want to have a beautiful family and beautiful home. And then as time passes, they grow older, and does not mean that they don't have hope. As one gets older, they still have a hope. What's the hope? What's the wish for the elderly? So there's a Korean saying to live up to the age of 99 and maybe ill for one or two days and then die quickly. That this is a little lingo or the saying in the Korean culture nowadays, as people are living longer. Oh, back in the day, 99, like who lived to that age? But now they do. Now we are living in this super advanced age. We have the AI, so-called big data, genome, DNA analysis or information we have, and nanotechnology. So taking advantage of all this, people are making every effort to live longer. So now they say aging is itself is illness. This is how they perceive now. So they find ways to prevent, not just slow down, but prevent aging. So anti-aging, and they want to develop substances that help them to anti-aging. So apparently they've done some laboratory work with mice and that they actually extended 1/8 increase of their age. So all of you here have a chance to live up to the age of 100. Not only that, and now they're saying babies are born nowadays, like 2024, they're projecting that they could live up to 140. Wow. Is this something that we should congratulate, or is this is curse? I don't know. It's actually a curse or disaster because, you know, they do age, but they don't die. And it's a problem. In the past, people died at the age of like 60, you know. And then what? For another 40, 60 years, and it's burden for the society. They don't work. They don't produce. They're not productive. So on the one hand, humans are developing technologies and substances or whatever. You know, pharmaceutical companies have to make money, right? So they will come up with all these, you know, pills and supplements and substances to market and say these are for anti-aging. And maybe people do live longer, but because when they get older, not just, you know, they burden the family, they burden the society and medical and social securities and medical, Medicare here in this country and in many advanced countries around the world. It is really putting burden on the economy, on the society. Whether what we know all in all, nevertheless, is that all will die in the end, whether they die at the age of 40 or 140. For man comes from dust, he returns to dust. This is the principle of the creation that God placed in the beginning. And no one can bypass, no one can transcend this principle. I read about somebody who, a young daughter, had died from an incurable disease. And this parent or these parents were devastated and they wanted to look forward to a day where they could come up with a treatment for this daughter who had already died. So they actually spent a lot of money for cryonics, where they will freeze the body at a very low temperature to preserve the body. And they are spending all that money to preserve this body for one day. Hopefully they will come up with some treatment. And if that day does come and that the body does wake up, who is to say that life will be better or that child will actually continue to live? By then, her parents will be gone and everyone that she knows is dead. So there is such effort, such desire that is really human nature, but we cannot bypass or surpass this decided principle that God laid in Hebrews 9:27 that man is destined to die once. There is no human, no creature that can surpass this principle. But what the Bible reminds us is that God is the God of hope, and therefore the Son that he sent, Yeshua Christ, had said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." Hallelujah. Say with me, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." So all creatures that once had life, that had breath, will all die. But here's Yeshua who said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And yes, all will die once. But after that, those who believe will live. Does this sound good? This is the purpose of believing Jesus. This is why we believe, not to extend our breath to live a long life here on earth in this dust body, because no one can, again, be free from that principle of dying once, but by believing in him that we can live forever because we are souls. So In these bodies, we have spirit, and that when we get to live again, it's not the flesh body, the dust body that will come back to life to live forever, but rather it's the spirit that will become the body. You've been hearing soul, soul, soul here at Church of Jesus, especially in this church. You hear, oh my God, soul, soul all the time. I had gone to church before I met Yeshua truly for 10 years and never heard the never heard anyone preach about soul. That I never even heard that. I only read it in a hymn. Now, every man has three functions, and that makes us a persona. Persona is a function to a man that has intelligence, emotion, and free will that's attached to the flesh. So when the flesh dies, that character is supposed to die with the flesh. But because now we are spirit, let's go to Genesis 2:7 in case there is someone who is brand new with us today, singing all these songs that you're not familiar with and sit with these strangers here. Let's look at Genesis 2:7 to see why. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So to the man who is made up of dust, God breathed his breath, which is the breath of God, the breath of life. So God exists, and he is spirit. And he created the world that is material, but also, so the material world that we see is the visible world, but there's also invisible, an invisible world, which is the spiritual world and made up of spiritual, that includes spiritual beings. When God made man, who is visible material, he breathed, he also breathed into him his breath. And the Bible calls him Adam, or living being, a living spirit. So quickly you become knowledgeable. So, you know, physically we are differentiated in the world, or visibly by male and female, or you know, ethnically or whatever, but in the eyes of God, it's just simple spiritual, and we are all one spirit, Adam, but we are distinctive individual, unique individual beings, because we have what's called a persona that makes us a soul. So by breathing into the man, the breath of God, breath of life, man became a living being, a soul. So a living being is a spiritual being in the flesh. So a spiritual being that has flesh, that's a living being. This is so important. Can you review that? Living being is what? A spiritual being with flesh. So this flesh is made up of dust, and it will certainly die. Do you believe that? Amen? While the flesh will return to dust and disappear, there is another part to man, which is spirit, and that will not fade away. That will not die. So in Hebrew, we call him Adam. In English, it's a living being or living spirit. So while Adam, while man lives in the flesh, he gets a chance to receive the word and live according to the word. And that was our ancestor, Adam. God made him a living being, so that the spirit inside can have a chance to have eternal life through resurrection while the flesh returns to dust. That is God's will from the beginning. That's his plan from the beginning. Very important. You know, when you go to the hospital, people get MRI or a CAT scan or an X-ray. So people are very excited, you know, interested about like what they're made of or what's going on inside the body. But all those tools are just to examine your flesh. You cannot find the spirit. But through the Bible, you find who you are, that you are a spirit. And this spirit has will become spiritual body through resurrection. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:44. Everyone in the back too, let's all turn to the Bible and find out who you are. 1 Corinthians 15:44. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. It is sown a natural body, read that again. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So there is a spiritual body. It does not mean that you have some kind of spiritual experience or out-of-body thing, but just as we have material body, which is this flesh, there is also spirit inside, and that will become body. Right now it's invisible, but resurrection is what will change a spirit into a body. For God is spirit and he exists forever. Just as no one can kill him and he stops existing, that's not possible. Inside this flesh, there is spirit. That spirit will become the body, will not die, will not age, will not perish. You can't destroy it. You cannot kill it. Does this sound good to you? You like the idea to live forever? People are making all kinds of effort to live long life, but the flesh will die one way or the other one day. But if you had a spiritual body to live forever, why don't you congratulate one another? You get to live forever in spiritual body. All mankind, all humanity are descendants of Adam. And why didn't God give the flesh body to angels? This is because God never had in his plan to give eternal life through resurrection to angels. Only to humans did he have this plan. While this flesh is such burden, because of this, we suffer, we grieve, we are sorrowful, we have concerns and problems, sickness and hunger and troubles. But God's plan was that once this flesh dies, the spirit inside this flesh will become a body. And in order for us to resurrect to like that of Christ Yeshua, he planned, God planned for believers, even though they die, they will live. And that's why God made man to be soul. So I have a possibility to resurrect. You don't need to envy the resurrection of Jesus. You all have the potential to resurrect like Jesus. Certainly there was a problem with our ancestor Adam. He ate the fruit that was forbidden in the Garden of Eden because he was deceived by the serpent. And when he sinned, that sin entered the spirit of Adam. You know, we read about that in the Bible. When the flesh sins, the flesh is punished. When Adam sinned, because he is a living being, he is a spiritual being, the spirit sinned. So the price of his sin entered the spirit. It's relevant for the spirit, not the flesh. So the price of sin, which is death, entered the man of entered the spirit of the man Adam, and that was passed down to all mankind. Even if we are still alive, flesh physically, we have all inherited the sin of Adam and the price of sin. So we're kind of excited about the idea of resurrecting to live forever, but now there's trouble, there's problem. But because he had the plan, God had planned for man to resurrect like Christ, this all happened. And this was in order for man to be given a better resurrection, as the Bible says. So again, the people in the world, one, or people in general, one have this have the hope to live a long life, but God had a better hope, a hope of a better thing for mankind. Now, if God wanted man to live a long life in the flesh, God would have prevented Adam from sinning, right? Why put the forbidden fruit or the tree in the center of the garden and say, don't eat it? He actually wanted him to take, let him take it. And in order, this was in order for God's plan to send his son as the last Adam to pay the price of sin in order for man to resurrect to life. Now, our ancestor Adam, and we are descendants of Adam, and I am Adam, which means I also inherited Adam's sin. You might have heard the original sin. The original sin is what we as humans have inherited, not by choice, but just by nature, being born man, and we have inherited the spirit inside the flesh. That is reality. Now, in order for man to know the reality of being dead in sin, God gave the law to the people of Israel, which said do's and don'ts. If you break these laws, then you are break these commandments, that you are a sinner. You have sinned. This was for man to realize that he's a sinner. Besides the original sin that's inside the spirit, in order for men to everyone to be silenced and cannot complain, why is Adam's sin my problem? Why do I have to deal with Adam's sin? By giving the law, God defined what sin is, and that whatever they commit with their hands and their bodies, self-committed sins would emerge or would be defined. Furthermore, there is another type of sin, which are called sins of desires, which you sin with your heart, with your mind. So three types of sins: the original sin, the self-committed sin, and the sins of desire. So whether anyone realized this or not, this is a reality for all men. But again, according to God's purpose, this was all done. So whether you want it or not, you will all resurrect. Is there anybody here who wanted to be born as human? You have not chosen to be born, but you were born. And the fact that you will resurrect is not by your choice. This is a principle of God that he had placed on all mankind. Whether you believe Jesus or not, you will resurrect. Some people think that it's only the believers of Yeshua that they will resurrect. Let's go to John 5:29. John 5:29. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Again, those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. So there is no exception. All men will rise either to live or to be condemned. So one or the other. So the resurrection to life, through which one will enter eternal life, or there's a resurrection to or of condemnation, through which one will be thrown into hell. So this is a resurrection to death, a resurrection to condemnation, and they will be sent to the fire of hell. So all men will rise, and that's a spiritual body. So spiritual body is the body that you cannot die even if you want it. You cannot kill that body, because the spiritual body will be the reality for all of us in one or the other, whether resurrect to live or resurrect to be condemned. Through resurrection to life, resurrection to life, one will enter eternal life, to be with God. But the resurrection condemnation is to be thrown into the fire of hell, as 2 Peter 3:7 says, the present heavens and earth are reserved for the fire. I know there are some newcomers, visitors here. Let's go to 2 Peter. Some people may be, oh my God, I did not know it was going to be like this. I'm sorry. But today is a very special day. So 2 Peter 3:7, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment, destruction of the ungodly. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. So heavens and earth, the present heavens and earth, we read about their creation in the beginning, in Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth. So all things were created by God. This is the foundation of the beginning of the Christian faith. If you don't believe in the Creator God or creation, nothing else will matter, because you can't build anything on no faith in creation. So this present, the present heaven and earth are called Hades or Ho Hades. It's very dark. Right now it's bright because we're in the solar system, but the rest of the universe is physically very dark because this is the depths of the pit, as the Bible says. So this dark place, the pit, is being kept for the day of judgment, and by the same word, it will be destroyed. Genesis As Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth by his word, as he commanded, let there be all things, let there be the heavens, let there be everything by his word. I know this is hard to believe for people who do not believe in the Creator. You have to overcome that. Once you decide to believe in the Creator, the Creator God, who created all things by his word, then you will be able to see how everything makes sense in the Bible. And by that word, he commanded all things to come. He will command them to be set on fire. Well, people have said, are saying that the universe may be burned up, fire. But even that understanding is based on material fire. What the Bible is saying, on the other hand, is a spiritual fire. It's eternal fire. Mark 9, 44 on, Jesus talked about the fire of hell. It's a place where you do not want to go. If your hand wants to commit sin, cut it off so that you don't go to hell. If your eye wants to sin, gouge it out so you don't go to hell, because even their worms don't die and the fire is not quenched. So it's a very frightening place, because the fire of hell is eternal fire. And what is thrown in there, you know, it says worm, but it's not like the animal or the creature worm, but it's about humans. You know, the humans who are thrown in there will not disappear, will not perish. And even when one says, I'm going to kill myself, you can't. This is so important. What is the probability of this? But the Bible contains 32,500 covenants and prophecies. They have all been fulfilled over a long period of time, but all of them may be fulfilled except one, which is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of his return. And when he does return, the entire universe will be set on fire. And in that day, we cannot be here. We need to escape here. How do we escape? The spirit has to resurrect to live. We have to come out to the resurrection to life, or the resurrection of the righteous, as Acts 24:15 says, as opposed to the resurrection of the wicked. So only those who will resurrect to life or resurrect of the righteous, they can escape the burning universe to enter the spiritual heaven to have eternal life. So the spiritual heaven is outside the universe, the material heaven. This is what God desires for us. Hallelujah. This is what we believe. We have gathered today, even today, longing to arrive in eternal life in the spiritual heaven outside. Now, God chose a people called the people of Israel, and more than half of the Bible contains the history of the people of Israel, God's covenant with them, how he promised and he fulfilled over thousands of years. And these are the people known as the people of Jehovah, the Lord God, and they were chosen people. They are the holy people of God, and God gave them hope. And that hope, which is different from the hope of the Christians today, and their hope was about the hope in reality. Some might believe in resurrection, but it's very vague and nothing definitive, nothing clear in their faith, because God never promised that for them. God's promise to them was for their flesh and blood, and passed down flesh and blood, because God is the God of the breath of the flesh. The life of the flesh. He has relationship with the flesh and blood of the people of Israel. So they believe that Jehovah is the God of the breath of the flesh. So everything is regarding the reality, the material. So Ecclesiastes 9:4. So anyone who is among the living has hope. Anyone who is among the living has hope. So those who are alive and who are among the living, they have hope. But once one is dead, there's no hope. So it says, even a live dog is better than a dead lion. A live dog is better than a dead lion. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because being alive is better than being dead, even if you're a dog and not a lion. Jeremiah 31:17 says, so there is hope for your descendants, declares the Lord. So the people of Israel are the chosen people of Jehovah. So they became a chosen, holy people, but they were led from one place to another, not having a territory, taken as captives. They live a long period of time in captivity, in exile, under occupation. So they were people of sorrow, always longing for the restoration of their nation and reclaim of their nation. So when they heard through the prophet saying, there is hope for your descendants, your children will return to their own land or own border. So the prophet Jeremiah is speaking to the people, saying that you and your children are right now in captivity, but one day they will return to their own border, their own land. So this notion of Zionism that's being talked about to this day, it's their passion and their obsession with the land, because their history is about that. God promised them this land, and yet foreigners would come and occupiers would come, and they would be oppressed or taken as slaves or captives. So they always long for the time that they will return, that their descendants will return to that land, that they will return alive if they can, but even as dead, they would be brought back to that land. So dead or alive, they long to return to the land. So which is Jerusalem, which, you know, is a city in Israel, the modern Israel. Now, you know, what they're saying is Jerusalem is becoming more and more like a public cemetery. Because, you know, the people of Israel are like diaspora, right? So they live, Jews live all around the world, but they all long to return to the land, dead or alive. So once dead, they want to be buried in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem has become more like a cemetery, and it's expanding. And this is biblical, as God promised them through the prophets that they will return. Again, they were given the hope for returning in that land as a people, but all physical hope, physical promise, that even as diaspora, meaning scattered around the world, that they will one day be brought back and be gathered in that physical land. So they long for that. While that was the hope of Israel, there was prophecy in Proverbs 14:32, that even in death, the righteous seek refuge in God, or hope. The righteous has hope in his death, another translation says. So again, so these people are filled with the desire to live, and they are truly survivors, considering all the opposition that they had faced and are still facing to this day by the world. But this is what God had instilled in their ancestors, and that was passed down to generations to this day. And that was very present when Yeshua came. Jesus in English, but here we also call his name in the original pronunciation, Yeshua. And that means the one who saves. And he's standing before the temple of Jerusalem. What did he say? Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. So destroy it, but I will raise it again in 3 days. When the Jews heard Yeshua say this, you could imagine their reaction. Doesn't make sense at all. A building that will go knocked down and then in 3 days be raised? Doesn't make sense. And then on top of that, what kind of temple is this? This was the hope of Israel, where the name of their God Jehovah was. So how dare you say you'll destroy this, or that it's going to be destroyed? This is unacceptable. This is blasphemous, they thought. In spite of knowing all of that, Yeshua said it, because the name of Jehovah is the name of the God of the flesh, as Jeremiah 32:27 says, and that this God of the flesh was the hope of Israel, and They believe that when they kept the law of God or the law of Moses, that they were promised a long life and that they will return to Jerusalem according to God's promise and prophecy. But here's Yeshua saying, destroy this temple and I'll raise it again 3 days, because he's referring to the temple of his body in John 2:19. It's written. So he's referring to the temple of his body, because his body is the temple. And what's inside the temple? The name of God. Jerusalem, the temple of Jerusalem had the name of Jehovah. That will be torn down, but be raised. Now, Yeshua will die, but he will resurrect. And when he resurrects, and this will be a new temple, and the name of God, the name of the Father will be there. That's the name of Yeshua. The name of Jehovah is the name of the God of flesh, but Yeshua is the name of the Father of the souls, the Father of all spirits. That name is the name of the Father of all spirits. And in that name, he'll be raised back to life, and that he will give a new hope, a better hope. Compared to what? Compared to whose hope? The hope of Israel. Compared to the hope of Israel, this is a better hope. Because again, Israel only thought of long life, fleshly things for their hope, and living in the land of in Judea or Jerusalem. But here's Yeshua saying, I'm going to give you eternal life. And this is a spiritual hope. And that is a better hope. And that through the resurrection to life, that souls will get to enter eternal life, return to the Father's house. Hallelujah. So during his public life, the hope of before the people of Israel who had put their hope in the name of Jehovah and gave sacrifices and served Jehovah in the temple of Jerusalem, who trusted that Jehovah would heal them and rescue them from famine and plagues and battles and captivities and so on, Yeshua revealed that he would be their hope, not only for the Jews, but for all men, Jews and Gentiles, their souls. So he performed signs. And through those signs, they would believe that he would be the hope for all nations. So when he made a visit or appearance anywhere, thousands of people, and some people actually said hundreds of thousands of people would gather, and all kinds of people suffering from all kinds of illnesses would come hoping that for healing. So in Mark, we read about the blind man Bartimaeus. And he was screaming the name of Yeshua and crying out. And he was making such ruckus that he had him come to him. And Yeshua said, what do you want me to do? What's your wish? And the blind man said, I want to see. And Yeshua said to him, it will be done as you have believed, according to your faith. And he received sight right on the spot. Because receiving sight or receiving healing, all that stuff is not a big deal at all to Yeshua, who had come to give a better hope, which is that give life to the spirit that is dead in sin, that is headed to hell, to now receive life through his death, and that through his resurrection, they get to also resurrect to life and have eternal life. So in his lifetime, Yeshua had prophesied of his own death, and Peter, who followed Yeshua with all these other disciples for about 3+ years, believing that he is the Messiah, you know, listening to his preaching and teaching and watching, looking at all his healing signs. Let's go to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1 also says the same words, in the beginning. But in Genesis 1:1, in that beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here, it also says in the beginning, but something different is happening here. It says in the beginning is not the time of Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 is the beginning of all things. When there was nothing, God started to create all things. That's Genesis 1:1. But John 1:1 here in the beginning is the quote-unquote time before Genesis 1:1, meaning it's eternity. Eternity when there is no time. There was the Word. And, you know, many people think that the Word there is like the Word of God, that the words that God spoke. So it's sound that has message. But this word here that's capitalized in Greek is whole logos. How knowledgeable you become so quickly here in church. You might not know the entire Greek language, but at least you know the important things here. So the word in Greek is whole logos, and it's the self-manifestation of God. God's self-manifestation. God decided on the way that he would manifest himself, and that's the word, whole logos. He decided that when? Before all things were created, before angels were created, before the world was made, before man was made, before Adam sinned, before anything, there was God, and he decided to manifest himself as the Word, and the Word was God. There is no way for God to reveal his entirety to creatures. He creates the entire universe. How can we see him? He's too great. He's holy. He's spirit. Creatures cannot see him. The way he would manifest himself instead is a part of him called the Word, so that creatures can know him. And verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh. God became flesh. Spirit became flesh. I want you to think and say those words. Don't just repeat meaninglessly, right? So God became flesh. So is God flesh? Does God have flesh? Or is he spirit? He's spirit, right? So where it says God became flesh, we say the Spirit became flesh. The Word became flesh. Who is he? He is the one and only Son. Who is he? Who is the one and only Son? Yeshua. Yeshua Christ. Jesus Christ. Who is he? He is the God who came as man. According to the way God decided to reveal himself, he came. So who is Yeshua? He is the Word in the beginning. He is God in the beginning. You must know this. And that in order for you to understand why he came to the world, why he came as man, and why he died, and what his resurrection means and means for me. So what he did in the flesh during his public life was unheard of, was incomprehensible, because he was healing, he was raising the dead even, and this was impossible for any man to do. The Bible contains all these unbelievable things. And why? To believe that Yeshua is God, he is the creator, that through him all things were made, and nothing was made that has been made without him. For he is the Word, he is God, and he came as man. And during the 3 years where he worked as the Son, revealed himself as the Messiah, he did all these incredible things. That is for men to believe that he is the God, the creator who came as man. He spoke of spoke ahead of his death. And hearing that Peter, who's Mr. Loyal, could not just hear that and let him go ahead and die. He said, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And he thought he was going to be praised by the Lord. Instead, the Lord said, get behind me, Satan. Get out of here, is what he was saying. So, why? Because you're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Because you think that I die, when I die, that my death is going to be like just like any other man's death. You do not know. You have no idea what God has in mind. This is all in Matthew 16:21 on. For Peter did not have the concerns of God, but human concerns, thinking that Yeshua is like he's man, that he's going to die and that'll be it. But Yeshua, the Word in the beginning, the God in the beginning, became flesh and he came to die. He said he was going to die willingly. he came to die intentionally, not by accident, not by force, but only if he dies, he will be raised to life. John 10:17-18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. So he had the authority to lay down his life, the authority to take it up again. Yeshua did not die because people, his followers, abandoned him or that he was arrested and he was bound and became powerless. Rather, it was willingly laying down his life. Only when he dies, he will resurrect. Hallelujah. There is no greater hope than resurrection. The greatest hope in the entire world is resurrect, to never die again. Because no matter who you are, whatever you have, you die and that's it. Everything dies, everything ends. But resurrect is come back to life, to never die again. Even when a troublemaker son dies, the entire family is in grief. They would like to see that dead son come back to life because that's a life that's gone now. But think of this hope of resurrection. In order for God to be the God of hope, in order to give a better hope for mankind, the son came to fulfill the hope of the Father, which is for him to be glorified as the God of hope and to return to the Father as a living son. So that's how the Father sent the son and said, return to me alive, come back to me alive. And here's the son laying down his life. Father, I am coming back to you. I commend my soul to you. He fulfilled the Father's hope when he died. And the Son himself had the hope, which was that after his death, he will resurrect, that he will take up his life again so that those who believe him will also resurrect to live. Hallelujah. And now resurrection, in that resurrection, there is no marriage. Maybe some of you are not excited about that, but I know because you have not been married, but being married, it's not a big deal. And here's Yeshua saying, in resurrection, there is no children, there's no brother, there is no husband. You don't marry or are given in marriage. You'll be like angels in heaven, Yeshua said in Matthew 22:23-32. Some of you are going, oh man, that doesn't sound like fun. Some people, you know, there are people who are married and go like, I wish I never met you, man. Or I wish I never married. They don't say and they don't share with other people, but there are a lot of people like that. So, you know, think about that. So many people suffer because of family troubles, not just marriage, but children, everything. In heaven, on the other hand, there is no marriage, no family. You're not male or female to come together to produce, you know, to procreate and so on. That's not what resurrection is about. This is in the resurrected life, in eternal life, the resurrection of the living, the resurrection of the righteous, as we read before, is to sow the natural body to reap spiritual body. So sown, a natural body sown and raise a spiritual body. So while we are alive in this natural body, we sow it like a seed, and we sow everything that we have in this natural body. In that day, we will reap as spiritual body. So there is meaning for this natural body, the flesh life that we have. There is meaning. Even if it's hard, even if it's challenging, we have the chance to sow, and one day we will reap. We will be raised a spiritual body. So had said all these, and he did die. And when he died, he said, it is finished. He died like a kernel of wheat, John 12:24. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds, he said. So his death is described as a kernel of wheat falling to the ground and die in order to produce many seeds. And he laid down his life willingly so that he will with authority take it up again, and Father will raise him back to life. He condemned the ruler of death, the devil, and through his death he paid the price of sin for all mankind and set men free from the price of sin, from their slavery in the devil. Again, the price of sin is death, as many of you know. The price of sin was to be paid in spiritual death, because the sin is now dead in spirit. It must pay for it in eternal death in hell. But through his own death, Yeshua's death, his body being spirit, he paid the price. Through his one-time death, he paid the price of all men's spirit, and he shed his blood for the souls, and that is for all many to receive, to produce many seeds. So all mankind are descendants of Adam in the first man. What did I say Adam means? What does it mean? A living being, a spiritual being with flesh. Say, I am Adam. I'm a spiritual being with flesh. So the flesh, whether you sin or not, it dies anyway. But the spirit, because we all inherited the original sin, and we died in spirit, and therefore we are all bound to hell, which is the price of sin, the punishment for sin. So when Yeshua died, we call the event as redemption, because through his death, he paid the price of sin, which is that he redeemed, he ransomed all mankind. Now, he did so, but it does not mean that all men will resurrect to life, to enter eternal life. Okay, Yeshua died as the last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, so all mankind belongs to the first Adam. Yeshua came as the last Adam because he has a spiritual body. He is called Adam. We are promised to resurrect to spiritual bodies. We have flesh body outside. But Yeshua, because remember, he's incarnate word, incarnate spirit. His body is spirit. You remember that, right? Yeah. That we're going to resurrect a spiritual body. What? The spirit is. Yeah, not this flesh. This flesh will not resurrect. The spirit will become resurrect to become body. But Yeshua has body, that's spirit. So he doesn't have the flesh body like we do. So again, the word became flesh, God became flesh, spirit became flesh, because his flesh is spirit, therefore. So all men were bound for hell because of the price of sin, the sin that they inherited in the spirit. Yeshua, through his one-time death, he ransom all men, setting them free from the price of sin. But in order for the spirit or souls of men to enter eternal life, to come out to resurrection to life, we have to receive life. Yeshua said, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the life and the resurrection, right? He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. So his flesh is spirit, and he is the God who came as man. And remember, God is the God of everlasting life. So when he became flesh, it was for him to die. And on the cross, he hung there for 6 hours. How painful that must have been. Think about that. But through such painful process, he shed one drop at a time. He shed all his blood. And if you, anyone who believes and receives that blood into your spirit, that blood will cleanse your spirit, will forgive your sins, and that you can become a child of God to come out to the resurrection to life. That's the work that he had done. Be ready for whosoever believes to receive. So after his death, in 3 days after his death, he resurrected. The moment man dies, the moment human dies, it begins to rot. Long time ago in my childhood, I remember there was like no funeral home. When, you know, when someone dies, you would actually leave the dead body inside your home. Inside your home. So in the cold spot in the house, they would lay the corpse. And because they have to do this burial or there's some ritual thing. And when somebody dies in summertime and you bring them out in 3 days, all the fluids, oh my goodness, just comes out as they carry. And the smell, I remember that. I remember smelling. Right now, it looks good, right? Your body looks okay. It's all by majority of this body's fluid. So all the fluids come out and you start rot. This body. But 3 days after his death, and his death, remember, he poured out all his blood and water, and he body was laid in grave, but in 3 days he was raised back to life. He resurrected. How is that possible? Because his body is the body that cannot perish. Is a spiritual body. His spirit is blood. His water is spiritual. It's spirit. It's spirit. His body is spirit. His blood is spirit. His water is spirit. All that was shed so that later on, those who hear the gospel, those who through the Holy Spirit hear this message and receive welcome, he poured them out ahead when he died. So he, after he resurrected, so even the disciples could not believe this. Those who followed him, the disciples and others, the 12 and others, they became afraid because they realized that they captured their Lord and they're going to be next. So they were in hiding. They were gathered in hiding. Then the Lord came through this closed door and said, peace be with you. Can you imagine how shocked they must have been? They saw. It's hard to believe that a dead person comes back to life, but they were there watching the crucifixion of the Lord. And you cannot come back from crucifixion, come back to life after dying on the cross. And here he was standing in their midst where the door was locked and said, peace be with you. And he said, do you have anything to eat? Oh, and they're all shocked. And, oh, we have a piece of fish. And he ate. And he ate in front of them. And some people say, oh my God, Yeshua's always eating. He loves to eat. All during his lifetime, he got in trouble for eating. And here he is eating again. The reason why he asked for food was for them to witness that he's truly alive. Only the living person can eat. So after that, he left to the disciples who had been there. They were talking about this. I can't believe we saw that. I can't believe that the Lord is risen and we had seen him. Now, Thomas was not there. And having heard this, and Thomas seemed to be very reasonable and logical, perhaps very scientific, and could not believe what he did not see. He said, unless I see him, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Again, the Lord appeared. A week later, when the disciples were in the house, the door was locked, he appeared. Do you believe that? How can he do that? Because he is spirit, he could do it. He can come through the door. We didn't open the door. The door is still locked. There are walls. He came into their room and said, Thomas, I know it's hard to believe, right? Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand, put into my say, stop doubting and believe. So he left. He stuck his hand out. He reached out his hands to Thomas. And he fell on his knees. My Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Thomas also was martyred in the end because he was a witness of the resurrected Lord. All those who witnessed his resurrection did not live to the fullest of their days. Rather, they died untimely death. And why is that? It's because they followed the word of the Lord, did not leave Jerusalem until receiving the Holy Spirit. Once they received, they became witnesses of Yeshua's resurrection. That's why the Holy Spirit came. After Yeshua ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to the believers, and they all became martyrs for witnessing his resurrection. Because that's why the Holy Spirit came. Holy Spirit is the spirit of testimony, or to witness means martus. In Greek, martus is the word martyr or martyrdom comes from. And these witnesses were burned alive, also crucified, cut into pieces, having their own children being thrown into the fire or boiling oil. And they did not deny the Lord. They did not denounce the Lord. They did not denounce the fact. To deny the fact that they witnessed the resurrection of the Lord. They could not deny the truth. And even if they watched their own children die, they continue to testify that Yeshua is risen. I want us to really think, how is it possible that we have heard the good news of Jesus Christ? How we have heard so easily, so comfortably, so easily, we have heard of his resurrection, the death and the resurrection of our Lord Yeshua Christ. It's because of these witnesses who shed their lives. They are witnesses of the word, the life from the beginning, as John wrote in 1 John chapter 1. And he called himself as a witness of the word, or the life of the life in the beginning, life from the beginning. He who is from the beginning, who came to the world as man and died on the cross, and 3 days he was raised back to life, and I witness his resurrection. How could they not speak of what they saw? Because that became their hope. The hope in a better resurrection and believing in Yeshua, who is the Word in the beginning, who came as man, that he is the God who came as man, who died, but he was raised back to life. And then believe that he is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him will live even though he dies, to come out to the resurrection to life. We understand that there is the order of resurrection. So before we close, let's study that. I know it's a lot today. It's very long. Even if it's hard to believe, understand and believe today, but this will help you one day. Let us go to 1 Corinthians 15, 15:20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come. When he hands over the kingdom of God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. So here outlines the order of resurrection. Yeshua died. He first resurrected. In 3 days after his death, he was raised back to life, and then he was taken up to heaven, sat down on the throne, and became the God of hope himself, the God of hope. He had the hope to be come back to life, to return to the Father, and that hope was achieved when he sat down on the throne in the Father's house, and that he is now the God of hope for us. And he sent the Holy Spirit to believers. And who are the believers? Those who have received the blood of Yeshua, have been washed of their sins, and now they have the hope through the Holy Spirit to become the children of resurrection, to now live according to the instruction of the Holy Spirit, to become witnesses of Yeshua. That's what the Holy Spirit makes us, the believers. So there's the order of resurrection shows that all humans, all men will resurrect, not just Christians, not just believers, but all will. Again, because we have spirit inside of the flesh, because we are Adam, the spirit will resurrect. I'm repeating myself, I know, but because many people don't understand, they don't know this, and they're so confused. It's the spirit that resurrects, not the flesh. It's not your flesh that will come back to life. This dies, and that's it. But this is the principle that God laid. The flesh dies and returns to dust, but the spirit will resurrect, no matter who it is. But there is a dispensation of God, the schedule of God, that there is the first order of resurrection, which is the resurrection of our Lord Yeshua Christ. Second order of resurrection is when he returns. When he comes, there is something called the first fruits. The first resurrection. Yeshua is the first fruit of the resurrection, but when he comes back, those who belong to him will resurrect. And that's called the first resurrection among men. So those who believe in Yeshua, his death, his resurrection, and belong to him, and they are attached to him. So where are we attached to? To Yeshua, to his body. What is his body? The church. He is the head of the church. We are members of his body. We have to stay attached. Amen? Belong to him. And those who belong to him among men, among humans, they will be the first to resurrect. The only one that has resurrected to this day is Yeshua. And he is the first fruits of resurrection. That's what that means. And then the first resurrection of humans will occur. And then sometime later, the rest. Go to Revelation 20. Revelation 20:4-6. Why should I feel bad that I'm preaching long and deep? Where else are we going to hear this, right? You know, people make public talks, public speeches, and they get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for their talk. What is that beneficial for, right? But this is beneficial for my soul. Revelation 24, chapter verse 24. I saw, chapter 20, verse 4. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Again, historically, the only one who has resurrected, the first and the only one to this day, is Yeshua Christ. And then when he comes back, those who belong to him, we read before in 1 Corinthians 15, but here it's the souls of those who have been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God, they will come out to the first resurrection. And verse 6 says, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. So second death is those who will resurrect to be condemned. The resurrection of the wicked, in other words, to be thrown into the fire of hell. That's the second death. And those who partake in the first resurrection will be far, far away from the second death. The second death has no power over them, and they will reign with him. They will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Have hope. People without hope are dead people, right? Without hope, without God in the world. That was us in the past. But today we have a new hope to participate in the first resurrection. Let's see. I shall participate in the resurrection to life. If you have that hope, and then the hope is fulfilled when you resurrect, when the Lord comes back, you will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So that's called the millennium, 1,000 years, 1,000 year ruling on earth. You'll be given land. Wait, where's that? Where's that kingdom? That's what the Bible promises. After 1,000 years is over, then you enter heaven, where you will serve the Lord from the thrones around the throne of Christ, the King of Kings. That is eternal life. Hallelujah. We must become witnesses of Yeshua, therefore. Be ready to be headed. Beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and the word of God. Whatever he commands, we are to submit. We are sowing our natural body. We are sowing everything that the natural has, the natural body has, time, money, talent, whatever it is, I'm sowing in my time in the natural body for me to reap a spiritual body. Is it wasteful? It is hurtful? It is precious, yes, and it is difficult. But when we sow, like a kernel of wheat that falls to the ground and dies, it's to produce many seeds. This is the word of our Lord Yeshua Christ, who was raised back to life on this day. Have hope. Have a dream. After believing the Lord, what is your hope? To resurrect to life and enter eternal life and to reign with Christ forever. Let's pray.